Now, truly, what am I thankful for? What are you thankful for? You know, I've heard people say motorbike, but I actually heard people say, I am really thankful for my family. That's what I heard from here. I heard someone say, I'm thankful for my health, because this person has been sick for a while now. She's feeling better. Now, someone said, I am thankful for this church. We are thankful for many things, but there's one thing that we are most thankful for. The Bible answers that, your salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen. The best blessing, the biggest gift of all is that God would love a sinner like me through Jesus Christ. The biggest gift, what we are most thankful for, is this holy, righteous God through Jesus Christ accepts you and me and says, I love you, I'm going to die for you, pay the penalty so that I may adopt you as my sons and daughters. That is the biggest reason for which we are thankful. We have been in this series called Under the Hood, The Values That Drive Us. It's kind of like a car theme stuff. Under the hood, we're going to find out the values that drive us. On the note, do you know what kind of car the apostles, the disciples drove 2,000 years ago? Like, do you know? Like, what kind of car, what kind of vehicle, what kind of this thing did the disciples, the followers of Jesus Christ, drive? And the answer is Honda Accord, obviously, because the Bible says they're all together in one accord. Ching ching. Aiden, smile. Are you awake? So, values that drive us under the hood. And we said the values that God gave to Mosaic House Church are Scripture. Scripture defines who you are. It's the final authority in life and faith for us. Not tradition, not leadership, not charisma, but Scripture defines. So that drives us as to who we are individually, but also collectively. The value of prayer. Prayer is not asking things from God, but asking what God wants for us. We pray, your will be done in our life. So prayer, that value drives us. The value of community, it's the house churches. This is the big house, but throughout the week, we meet in people's homes. House churches, it is there when you are known and loved, not only by God, but also by your church family. That value drives us. And we talked about the value of generosity, because Jesus, though he was rich, for your poverty, for your rich, he became poor so that we may be rich through him. And that's why we want to be generous as Christ has been generous to us. And today, this clumsy word or phrase, sent out. Would you repeat after me? Sent out. Sent out. One more time. Sent out. Sent out. Last time. Sent out. The English word mission, it comes from the Latin word missio, which means not Tom Cruise, not did. No, it means to send out before it is a task. The actual meaning of the word mission in Latin is to send out. And I'll tell you why this is a value to us, because it's a value to Jesus Christ. Look over here. Very important. Since here is the statement that I want you to remember, okay? It's very simple, okay? Since Jesus was sent to save us, now we are sent to save others. Okay? Since Jesus was sent out to save us, now we are sent to save others. Not that we save others. God is saving others as he sends you and me out. Okay? God the Father. This is the whole story of the Bible in 1 minute. God the Father sends God the Son into the world so that he may die for your sins and my sins, that we may become God's children. Jesus Christ, God the Son, after he ascended on high, he sends God the Holy Spirit. Okay? Father sends the Son, Son sends the Holy Spirit to lead us now to Jesus Christ. Now we are sent out. As God has sent out himself into the world, now God sends us out into the world so that he may save others through us. The whole Bible in 1 minute. That's it. Friends, what that tells you is at the core, at the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have a God who is a sending God. What would have happened to us if God did not send out his Son, Jesus? You wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. God at the core is a sending out God. He sends out his people all over the world. The reason church exists, the reason the name of Jesus Christ is being uttered in our mouths is people were sent out to proclaim the name of Jesus. And that's why it is of value to us. I'm going to show you John 3:16 with a slight modification. It's one of the most well-known Bible verses ever. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Now, for our sake today, I would like you to change the word God gave with sent out. You follow? Okay? So let's read that together, repressing the word gave with sent out. "For God so loved the world that he sent out his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And that is why sent out is a value that drives you personally, individually, but it's a value for the collective, the body of Christ. Okay? I'm going to read the text for this morning, Colossians, but here's the backdrop. Okay? There was a man named Saul who hated Jesus and his church. And so much so that he was rounding up Christians from their homes and putting them in prison. Okay? And he was sent to a church, a house church. He was looking for these Christians that were meeting in house churches. Okay? Now, on the way, the Lord Jesus appears and Saul is convicted and convinced that Christ is alive and that he was also accepted and loved by God through Jesus Christ. So he becomes a Christian. He's baptized. And that's why God wants you to be baptized. It's a conversion experience. It's a declaration of your faith and a public trust that you put Jesus in your heart. Now, Paul, guess what happened to him? He was sent out. He was sent out. Every Christian is sent out. Every Christian is a missionary, which means sent out. I am sent out. You are sent out. And that's because Jesus was sent out and he saved us. And once he saves us, he sends us into the world. Okay? So guess what Paul did? He was sent out and he planted churches, house churches. Because it's through the movement of house churches that people came to know Jesus. And they were made disciples of Christ. And they were sent out. So Paul went to a really important city called Ephesus. Big, mega city. And he planted house churches. And then a man by the name of Epaphras from the city of Colossae, which is about 100 kilometers away, he came and listened to the story of Jesus. And he became baptized. He became a follower of Christ. And guess what happened to Epaphras? He was sent out back to Colossae. And guess what he did? He planted a house church. It became a church. You know, he was having some problems in the church, so he asked Paul for advice. And now Paul, at this time, is in Rome because he was sent out to Rome to tell people about Jesus, and he was arrested. He was in prison. He was incarcerated. And he was in chains. And there he writes this letter back to Epaphras in Colossae. You follow? Okay? Now, here are the instructions so far as you being sent out. Listen to these words. Here's how you are sent out. Chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Since Jesus was sent out to save us, now we are sent out to save others. So I'm going to spell out for you, with God's help, three ways how we are being sent out, okay? As you are being sent out, number one, pray for your seven using heart. As you are being sent out, every one of you who has called upon the name of Jesus Christ and you have received the gift, the free gift of salvation, and you have become a child of God, and what is happening to you? The Holy Spirit is sending you out, and as you are being sent out, Christ says, pray for your seven using heart. Here's what we find in verse 2. Devote yourselves to what? Prayer. When you're being sent out to tell people about Jesus, the first thing is you pray, being watchful and thankful. Now let's parse that out. Devote yourselves to prayer. Devote. Be focused. Do not be distracted. Make prayer, as you are being sent out, a singularly important thing. Be consumed by praying as you're being sent out. I wonder that's what's been happening to Daniel. He was devoting himself to this woman. He cannot stop thinking about her. Right, Elaine? He would call her every day, text her every day, think about this one. He was devoting himself to Elaine. Similarly, when Christ was sent to save you, then you become so devoted to being sent out yourself. And we do so while being watchful and thankful. Watchful. Doesn't it conjure up images of looking for something? Waiting for something, anticipate that something good will happen. As you pray, devote yourselves to prayer. I hope you feel what I feel. Holy Spirit, you're going to do something really cool. Holy Spirit, as I pray, which is a human exercise and activity, you will do something that's divine, something sacred, something supernatural. So you are being watchful, anticipating, in fact, you are expecting God's going to do something with your prayer. And thankful. Thankful for what? Oh, come again. Where's Paul again when he wrote this letter? He was in the doghouse. He was in prison. What's he being thankful for? Because he was watching. Lord, I'm praying for the lost. I'm anticipating something good will happen. Not for my sake, but for the sake of people that you're sending my way. And I am thankful for the opportunity. I am thankful that I get to tell people that Jesus is alive. So pray is the first thing as you're being sent out. Because that word appears three times. It says pray, pray, pray. Like MC Hammer resurrected. Gotta pray, gotta pray, gotta make it today. Pray. So we pray. Now, for those of you, this may be a review, but it is worth repeating. We have said a few months ago, hey, let's pray for the people in our lives. And we came up with this cool acronym. Pray, Jesus Christ, pray, heart, H-E-A-R-T. Pray, risen Christ, break my heart. What breaks yours? That's the letter H. That's the first prayer. You will not do the rest of the acronym until you pray that your heart is broken, for which Jesus' heart is broken. It's about passion. It's about devotion. Do you care about the lost people in the world? Do you care that they don't know Jesus. Do you care? They want to know Jesus if they had known who Jesus is and what he offers to them. So that's the first thing. Pray, Lord, break my heart. What breaks yours? What's the next letter? E. E stands for encounter. Pray, risen Christ, I pray that my friends may encounter other followers of Jesus Christ. Because it takes more than just you. It takes a village to raise a child. It takes an army of God's people to lead one person to Jesus. It's the chain reaction. It's the domino effect. So pray. May my friend encounter other Christians along the way. H stands for heart. E stands for encounter. A stands for attend. Pray, risen Christ, give me opportunities to attend to their needs. They don't care how much you know unless they know how much you care. You see a need, meet the need in the name of Christ. Be kind, compassionate. If you are able to help, help them. Attend to their need. H stands for heart. E stands for encounter. A stands for attend. And the R stands for repentance. Pray, risen Christ, I pray that the Holy Spirit would grant them repentance. Repentance is a gift. None of us will repent unless we are moved and convinced by the Holy Spirit. So we pray for repentance. And lastly, T stands for transform. Pray that the Holy Spirit transforms their hearts from the inside out. Friends, I pray for my 7 every day. Some of you are here. I put your name in my mouth and I pray the heart for you. I thank God for this church, but one of the things that I'm really, really, really thankful for is the fact that people like you who want Jesus. Maybe you don't even know that you need Jesus, but you are drawn to him somehow, supernaturally, and you experience his people, his community. And I'm praying for you. So as you're being sent out, will you pray for your 7 using the acronym HEART? So here's number 2. As you're being sent out, you pray, and then you proclaim Christ. All the 3 words starts with P. Proclaim Christ. Here's what Paul says. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may, let's say the word again, proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it again clearly as I should. Proclaim. Declare. Shout it out. Stand on a podium and let everyone hear who Jesus is, what he's all about. So proclaim Christ. But Paul says, really interestingly, proclaim what? The mystery of Christ. Interesting, very interesting phrase. Okay? He's in chains, saying, pray that I may proclaim Christ and his mystery boldly, clearly, for I am in chains. Remind me again, where is Paul when he's writing this letter? He's in prison, right? So he's in chains, and he's looking for ways to proclaim Christ in his cell, in his prison. So proclaim, devote, focus, and declare. What? The mystery of Christ. Does he mean as in mystery, like the Bermuda Triangle? Who knows what happens there? No one knows. It's like the weather is mysterious in Alberta. It snows in September. We don't get it. It's just so mysterious. It's like the mind of a woman. Who knows what she's thinking? It's just a mystery. I don't know what she's thinking. I don't know what she's feeling. It's just mystery. That's not what he means. Proclaim the mystery of Christ is this. That which was hidden, veiled, covered, now unveiled, revealed. Okay? So it's not mysterious in that you can't comprehend it. It's mysterious in that it was hidden away or veiled away. You follow what I'm saying? Okay? And now the veil has been torn, the curtain has been put off, and now the mystery of Christ is known. And what is that? Well, we go to Romans chapter 1 to find the answer. Here's the answer. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of Christ that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Again, that which was hidden, revealed. Okay? A righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Okay? That which was hidden, now revealed. And that's the mystery of Christ. A young man who came from a very wealthy family, his dad was very rich, and he wanted his son to become a lawyer, to overtake his business and make even more wealth, okay? The son went to the law school, but he dropped out, and instead he went to a seminary, a monastery. He wanted to become a monk. You know why? Because he always felt like a sinner before this righteous God. He always felt his best was not good enough. He would pray 7 times a day, lasting more than 30 minutes each time. He would read the scripture, study the scripture, both in Greek and Hebrew, and he would do all these good acts, and he always felt short of meeting God's standard. He always felt guilty. God is this angry God, ready to smite him because, Martin, you came short. Zap. One day, he was meditating. Martin was meditating on Romans 1, and the Holy Spirit opened his eyes. The righteousness of God has been revealed. That comes by faith, not through works. And what he realized was this. My attempts, my endeavors to be approved by God will always fall short. So God had given a solution for me. Jesus Christ, who has met the all requirements, he obeyed every command to the full extent. He was declared righteous. And Jesus Christ is giving that credit to Martin and to you. So he wasn't earning it. He wasn't working for it. He was receiving it. When that truth, when that grace, when that gift dropped from here to there, he was set free. See, that's the mystery of Christ, friends. That is the mystery of Christ. So as you're being sent, you pray. As you're being sent, you proclaim this mystery to your friends. Just tell your story. Tell your story. You know, that fat Filipino guy behind me. Okay? His name's Bernard. I love him. He looks quite good, actually, I must say. Bernard, are you here? He's not good. We can talk about him. So when he got baptized, he gave this testimony. He told his story. He told exactly this. He said, I was always falling short. I felt like a guilty sinner. But I realized Christ gave me his credit, his righteousness for me. And that mystery, that story, he tells everyone now. So let's move on. Since Jesus was sent out to save you, now we are being sent out to save others. And as we're being sent out, what's the first P word? We pray. And second, we proclaim Christ. And last, third, we prepare for opportunity. Let's read verses 5 and 6. Be wise, as in do not be foolish, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, that is, people who don't know Jesus yet, people who are not of the fold, people who are not in the community. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Okay? Be wise. Be wise. It's an opportunity. You are being watchful and you anticipate. It's your activity, but once the Holy Spirit partners with you, it becomes a divine opportunity. You may not know it, but the Holy Spirit is working, and therefore, you prepare for the opportunity. Sarah, by the way, I didn't have Bernard's permission to talk about Bernard. Sorry, dude. But it was a public knowledge because he gave a testimony, right? So I'm okay. I did ask for Sarah's permission to talk about this and Amika's. When Sarah was being baptized, she stood up here and she told her story, her testimony. Okay? And she said one of the God moments that led her to making the decision to follow Jesus and being baptized was one Sunday she came in and she sat in the back because she didn't want to talk to anyone. She didn't want anyone to talk to her. So she was, like, you know, hiding in the back. Okay? And Amika sat next to her. And Amika said to her, Sarah, I think God is connecting us today. That's what she said. Now, Amika doesn't recall the conversation because it was so mundane. It was just like, she said it in passing, like, Sarah, I think God is connecting us today. Go, girl. Okay? But what the Holy Spirit did with those words for Sarah, it was a landslide. It was like flood of God's grace showering her, covering her. Here's what Sarah felt. She said, when Amika said those words, I felt like I am so unlovable, and God is going to love me. And I'm feeling his love through the words of this woman, Amika. Okay? A mundane, ordinary opportunity in the hands of the power of the Holy Spirit became supernatural, sacred, and divine opportunity. So be wise. Prepare yourself for opportunity. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, okay? Make the most of every opportunity. As in, hey, look, if you go out to a restaurant and someone is serving you, okay, be a generous tipper, will you? Especially if you put the name of Jesus, make sure, now, all I'm inviting us to do is think it through. Prepare for yourselves for every opportunity. Since you have received the generosity of Christ, give generosity. Because waiters and waitresses, you know, they rely on your tip, right? So be generous. When you say things at your office, let your conversation be always full of grace. Say things that edify others. Don't gossip. If someone gossips about your colleague, just walk away. Just walk away. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt. Now, interesting expression, seasoned with salt. What does that mean? Hey, Elder Jack, your words to me are lacking flavor. Put some salt on, will you? While you're at it, add some pepper, black pepper, crushed. I like those. I wonder if the Apostle Paul is saying, when you talk to others, because you're preparing for opportunity, okay, bring life into the conversation. Say things that lift them up, season with salt. Or salt is also a preservative, right? So it preserves things. So therefore, protect life. So walk away from gossip. Instead, build others up with your kind words. Because since Jesus Christ was sent out to save us, now we are sent out to save others. Okay, Let's wrap it up. I'm going to come to a conclusion soon. Let's review. As you're being sent out, pray for the seven using H-E-A-R-T. Number two, proclaim Christ. It's his story and your story. And three, prepare for opportunity. Okay? Now, here is the challenge. Can we watch Frank's video? Okay, I was so humbly proud of myself because I'm not technically savvy, but John Bazrich from East Campus helped me with this video recording. So watch what happens. I heard something that Elder Frank said at the elders' meeting. So I said, Elder Frank, can I record you? He said, sure. So we met in his truck. So watch this video. Watch.
Hello. I heard something that Elder Frank does once in a while, in fact, quite often. You may call it a habit or a routine, but something he does in his truck. And once I heard it, I wanted to capture it and share that with you. So here is Elder Frank in his truck already. Hold on.
Nice truck here.
Out of focus. There you are. Okay. Good morning, Frank. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great.
I love your truck.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, can you show me what you do sometimes or often as you come inside your truck, please?
Well, when I come into my truck, I'm usually getting in or out of my garage. And so in my visor, I've got my garage door opener. And under my garage door opener, I have this little piece of paper that has seven names on it that I am praying that the Holy Spirit leads to Christ. And I also have this little green piece of cloth that we got in church last spring.
Could you show that to us?
And there was a message about the woman that was bleeding all her life, and all she did was touch Jesus' cloak, and she was healed. And it just reminds me of the power of God, and these names can be changed through that power of Christ. That's what I do.
Now, just one last question. This is so cool. Why do you do it?
Well, these people are people in my life that I see quite often, every day, and some neighbors, and they are, one neighbor, for example, had cancer, and so I prayed for him quite often, and his wife, I would say to his wife, we're thinking about you, and then she'd give me a hug, and I would whisper in her ear, you know what that means, right, and she would just start crying. And so that was pretty powerful, actually, for me. But we're still praying for him, and hopefully one day they'll accept an invitation to church.
Could you tell us the other people on the list? Who are they?
Do I have to name them?
No names,
some,
please.
Most of them are people in my neighborhood and a few family members.
All right. Frank, thank you for sharing. This is a value that drives us because it's a value to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much. And I join you praying for those people. Thank you.
Hello. Why does Elder Frank lowers down the visor, takes out the list, and pray for his seven? Why does he do it? Why is there a value to him? Why? Because it's a value to Jesus Christ. His heart has been broken because Jesus' heart is broken for these seven people in his life. So here, two challenges, and we'll wrap it up. In your house churches, the leaders are called lead missionaries. You know why? Because they are sent out. So let me address the lead missionaries of the house churches. Talk about, challenge your people in your house churches to do those three. Pray, proclaim, and prepare, all right? And second challenge for all of us, the next series starting in 2 weeks is called, from the book of Jonah, God's Unrelenting Pursuit of You. Invite your friends. Invite your seven. Because they will hear how much God loves them and how far God is willing to go to make his love known to them. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you were sent out. We thank you that you saved us. We now partner with you as we are being sent out in all that we do, in all that we are. Yes, Lord. We make this a top, top priority. It's a value to us because it's a value to you, and that's what drives us collectively and also individually. Friends, for those of you who have never, never received the love of Christ in your heart, I wonder if God is calling you to do it. It's just an opportunity, a mundane opportunity that may become a supernatural opportunity. If you're ready, simply say this in your heart. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need you. Thank you for dying for my sins. And now I follow you as my Lord and as my Savior. Amen. If you said a prayer in your heart, please come and see me. Let me pray with you further. Now, Lord Jesus, as we go out, as we're being sent out, bring about your purposes in our lives. And for Mosaic House Church, in your name we pray. And God's people said, Amen.